Stampede.
Garnerism 222, recorded 4/7/2024. It's true, I could be wrong about my predictions. After all, don't our politicians say we're in the midst of prosperity? So, don't think about those mass shootings taking place every week, or is it every other day? Don't worry about it. Our prophets are the truths we live by. Don't be concerned about our government's debt exceeding this country's gross domestic production. We've got the weapons to prevent anyone from forcing us to pay up. Besides, who's going to take away anything from us? We can print as much money as we like. And don't think about inflation, because it's transitory. Its true meaning is prices will just keep going up and up. And isn't that the measurement of prosperity? Look at the stock market. Isn't it making new historic highs? And isn't that what this country needs, stock prices going higher? So what if it looks like military conflicts are breaking out around the globe? Doesn't that mean our military-industrial complex will be making greater profits? And let's not forget about our children's reading and writing scores at lower levels of proficiency. Because that's not a problem when artificial intelligence can do the thinking for them. Anyway, isn't that what it's all about? Why be troubled with thinking when that electronic screen can do the thinking for you? We've got all the bases covered because our youth can become addicted to winning. All they have to do is put $5 down on the internet for a sporting event and get $200 back. And isn't winning everything? Isn't it important to know how to put a basketball through a hoop or push a football across a goal line? Aren't those the values that are important? And what about that old saw that says we're a country of laws? That's the truth, too, because We have over 2 million people in our prisons.
Yeah.
We like doing things big in this country. And that's why we can tell the rest of the world to be like us.
Yeah.
We stand by America with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And isn't everybody happy? If you haven't been listening to Garner Isn't, then allow me to reiterate. This country isn't going to enjoy the economic influence and prestige it's known for the last 78 years, since the end of World War II. I make predictions regarding our future based on what appears to be happening today. America is actively fighting militarily and financially two wars, the Middle East war with Israel and Hamas, and the war in Europe with Ukraine and the Federation of Russia. I've made it clear that the Middle East war could result in the use of nuclear weapons, and that's based on my belief that Iran has succeeded in becoming a nation with nuclear weapons, which means if Israel's very existence is threatened by a war of attrition, by many different attacks, it may be forced to rely on its own nuclear weapons. It's unlikely America will attack Iran if it has nuclear bombs. And we may, in fact, be forced to withdraw from the Middle East, especially if it becomes clear that the Persian Gulf is running out of oil. Now, the other war between Ukraine and the Russian Federation has a different dynamic. And let me say this, I'm no fan of Putin, but our involvement with that war began with our government's State Department pushing out Ukraine's long historic ties to Russia and was instigated by America actively overthrowing the Ukrainian government. I still remember seeing Victoria Nuland, from our State Department, parading in the streets of Kyiv, trying to convince the Ukrainian people to overthrow the Russian influence in Ukraine. That, along with Russia's Nord Stream 2 pipeline to supply Western Europe with Russian oil and gas being blown up, forced Putin to invade Ukraine. Of course, the firestorm that resulted was that everyone said Putin wanted to move militarily into Western Europe if we didn't stop him in Ukraine. But this is the truth. Putin is not a communist. He's a capitalist, and he wants to open up Western Europe markets to the Russian people. And if he wanted to militarily invade Europe, he couldn't. But America's hold on Europe since 1945 is coming to an end. And Europe, in the long run, will strengthen its ties with Russia, strategically making our influence in Europe coming to an end, and forcing our military to capitulate and come home. What's playing out in front of our eyes is the emergence of a new coalition of countries called the BRICS. And it's between America's control over world markets and the Russian Federation, including the People's Republic of China. BRICS is a trading bloc of countries: Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, challenging the financial control of the Western world's economic system that has existed since the end of World War II. That's at the heart of what looks like a growing military conflict worldwide. BRICS began in 2009 as an intergovernmental organization originally identified to highlight investment opportunities. And as of January 2024, the countries of Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, and the United Arab Emirates have joined this coalition of governments. Combined, it represents about 30% of the world's land mass and 45% of the world's population. All five of the initial countries account for a combined domestic production of $28 trillion, or about 27% of the world's gross production. And as of 2018, it has an estimated reserve of over $4.5 trillion. To put this in the simplest of terms, if in a business-zoned sector, you had a big box store running its business, and then a competitor of nearly equal size offered the same products at lower prices, opened its business right next door. The feelings between those two companies would be less than cordial. In fact, it might be downright hostile. And this is what's playing out across the globe. After World War II, America's dollar became the world's reserve currency. In 1945, America had the largest reserve of gold in the world. But by 1971, that supply had all but disappeared. And Richard Nixon ended the convertibility of gold to dollars and made the U.S. currency a fiat currency. And in effect, that started America's government as a debtor government. And today, it's now indebted to over $34 trillion, with it continuing higher. So those facts are why, in the future, war is breaking out around the globe. Thank you. I don't like having to say this, but our government is bankrupt. And our politicians don't seem to think that's important, even though we're financing two wars, and in fact may be involved in a third war in the Far East. Perhaps historians in the future will point to America's financial indebtedness as the beginning of lost generations in poverty, ravaged by inflation. But of course, that's the least of our troubles. Our politicians would have you believe that everything is all right, but an illness in our own human condition has signaled something is wrong. You can't say everything is all right when we've had children killing other children in schools, when businesses are looted by gangs of young people, or suicide rates are rising. No, those are symptoms of something else, and that everything isn't all right. The use of artificial intelligence to replace the importance of thinking has led to children having lowered educational standards, producing millions of children whose only values come from electronic screens. As well, the importance of finding contentment being replaced for making profits. Why shouldn't we consume more of everything? It leads to greater profits. But what kind of behavior? And why shouldn't we produce weapons of mass destruction? Doesn't it make us safer? So what if inflation results in greed and avarice? Why are our military stationed around the world? Even so, what will happen when our all-volunteer army refuses to follow orders and rebellion and sabotage breaks out among their ranks? Will our politicians continue to say everything is all right when assassinations become commonplace? No, our government's bankruptcy isn't the only thing that future historians will say caused a lost generation of Americans. So what? Because there will always be those with false pride saying we're still an exceptional country, that no country on earth ever achieved what we achieved. Weren't we a free people, a deserving people, a righteous people, a humble people? Weren't we so?
Oh,
Making predictions about America's future isn't easy, and I could be wrong. I'm not a trader in financial markets. Instead, I try to evaluate what I see is happening in real time. So many of the things reported are symptomatic of something that isn't right. Of course, one has to be skeptical about what is sometimes reported. It's especially difficult to predict the political future when politicians are masters at manipulating the truth, and this includes news organizations that affiliate themselves with political parties. They're an arm of the political system and are, by any other name, propagandists. They serve to disguise what the political apparatus is actually doing, and that includes America's financial health, its military engagements, and even foreign diplomacy. The propagandists promote a spin to keep the American people believing that everything is all right and to remain true to our founding principles. But it's becoming more difficult to keep Americans believing everything is still working correctly. Reporting of mass shootings can't be easily spun into producing a feel-good report. That kind of reporting is a serious prediction of our future, as well as the number of guns reportedly owned by the American public. That, too, can give a sense of the direction of America. Then again, another indication of the financial strength of our government can predict what is about to take place. A debtor country is, by its very nature, a measurement of the integrity of its currency. You know, when, like a piece of paper recognized as a legal tender is stamped with the words, "the full faith and credit of the U.S. government." I could be wrong if I thought we were a humble people, free of vanity, a peace-loving country, not a defense budget of $800 billion. I could be wrong, but the facts say otherwise. The promise of a golden age has passed us by like a thief in the night. We never could stop what we were. This week on Garner Isn't, you first heard the music of Cliff Martinez, Bank Robbery Capital of the World, from the 2018 movie Den of Thieves. Then more of Martinez for the 2002 movie Solaris. Is That What Everybody Wants? Followed by more of the movie Den of Thieves. Let's go. Next was the music from the 2006 movie by Harry Gregson-Williams for The Chronicles of Narnia, Evacuating London. Then a cut of Lisa Gerrard singing Now We Are Free. And to close, a short cut from the main title by Leonard Bernstein for the 1954 movie On the Waterfront.
Stampede. Written and performed by Edward Garner in Morro Bay and Paso Robles, California.